We did speak to our two guests last Monday. As much changed since. We welcome back onto the show John McAteer of the Tyrconnell Tribune. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to see you again. And Paddy Rooney, our political analyst, also with us. Good morning, Paddy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. Morning. Paddy, I suppose I'll start with the national picture. I mean, it's not surprising to me that in the polls, for what they're worth, Sinn Féin are starting to gain a little. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael seem more interested, I suppose, in fighting amongst themselves, I could put it like that. But there's been no great moves so far in this campaign. When's it going to ignite?
Well, I'm not sure, but a lot of the, listening or watching debates over the weekend on TV and radio, the general consensus is that the campaign has been very flat at the moment and it hasn't really ignited, and nobody can put their finger on that. But it may have something got to do with the fact that it's so far away. But of course, when I say that, we're now we're between a third and a half way into it. So people need to get into this very, very soon. I know now there's a lot of material coming on the radio and the TV about Christmas, so people have to compete with that. But I would say it's something got to do with the fact, Greg and John, that people out there feel that there is no choice on offer here, because the polls are showing that the next government is probably going to have a fair colouring of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in it. And they've either had a confidence and supply arrangement or a coalition arrangement for the last 8 years. The left is completely fragmented and I would say if you totted up all their figures, they might have 25, 26% of the electorate. But you can't get any, there might be as many as 7 or 8 political parties there, and you can't get them to agree on anything. And then, of course, you have all of the goodies then that are being promised by all political parties across the board. And it's almost impossible to make sense of it all.
Okay.
So John things didn't fiddle out.
Yeah, John McAteer, the big movers really, I suppose, are independents up 20%, as a grouping, as popular as all three parties there or thereabouts within the margin of, error. So they don't have a load of money to promise. They don't have necessarily huge policy documents on everything from health to housing. Is that where the frustrated voter is seeking an alternative, John? Or do you read anything into that?
No, I don't read anything into that. There's a total disconnect here. People are not connecting with the politicians. They're not connecting with canvassers. But more than that, they're not contacting with the coalition partners in government. Sunday Times opinions poll yesterday showed Fine Gael on 23, independents and others on 21, Fianna Fáil on 20, and Sinn Féin on 18, and the Social Democrats on 6, Labour and the Greens 4, and everybody else away below that. So what I see from that there is that coalition had 53% of the vote last time. They're down now at 47 this time. They're not going to form a government on that, I don't think. They're going to struggle to do that, given that they have to get up to 90 seats. There's a disconnect there because I think there's a bit of a shambolic campaign in the race to give away money. I mean, Simon Harris, every time he's handed a mobile phone, he's handing out more and more millions. Yesterday afternoon, he was at the Fine Gael launch in Tipperary, and he handed out billions, 2 billion each year for infrastructure, climate and nature, and 4 to 5 billion into Future Ireland Fund. And there was a billion for disability services. There was injection of 100 billion into capital projects. There was, 40 billion for housing, and so on and so forth. 6,000 new Gardaí, a new Taunton Hall prison. That's back on the agenda again. It's been in mothballs for about 30 years. Then there's €1,000 for each newborn child. Mm-hmm. And then there's a certain category, there's more. So they're going to double the housing output.
Just in relation to that, I mean, you've said an awful lot of stuff there, but if you talk to people out in the street, they're not talking about that. They're talking about Simon Harris backing Senator John McGahan as an election candidate down in Louth. He's standing by him. And that is, if they do a poll in 2 or 3 days, that is going to damage Fine Gael. It's astonishing, isn't it? For all the stuff you mentioned, all the goodies, the thing that might actually adjust the opinion polls is something like this conversation as to whether or not Simon Harris should back the senator.
The goodies are not resonating at all. What is, as you say there, the issue in down in Meath? Helen McEntee now has backed the Taoiseach on this one. This one is one to watch over the next couple of days. There are opinion polls coming out. Watch out for how this impacts on the Taoiseach's credibility and indeed on the wisdom of backing McGahern.
Yes, because
I just don't know.
Of course, Paddy, in relation to this, it's very fresh in people's minds, the questioning of Sinn Féin's handling of allegations against its members. This is a free opportunity for them to turn the tables directly on to Fine Gael. And I don't know what the right thing for Simon Harris and Fine Gael as a whole to do. Even if what they are doing is correct, once you are talking and once you are defending and once you are explaining, this is going to be dragged up a few times in this leaders' debate tonight. And I think it's critical as to how Simon Harris deals with it.
Absolutely. Hugh O'Connell said the journalist said there a couple of days ago, this is the third general election on the trot now that Fine Gael have started off with shoot themselves in the foot that was self-inflicted. It's something got to do with the fiscal space in 2016. I don't know what that was about. 20 then was about Charlie Flanagan and commemorating the RIC. And then we have Michael O'Leary last week. That seems to have gone away, and this is in the main now. I suppose that it's important to point out here that anyway, that John McGarren, it looks bad. It's a bad look, but he wasn't convicted in a criminal court. And
it's very important that we apply the same rules, okay? Because the Sinn Féin senator didn't do anything illegal, was not convicted in a criminal court. And there was an awful lot of mileage made from that. And that defence for Sinn Féin wasn't accepted.
I was going to go on to say that because Conor Feehan and Ralph Regal have an article in the Irish Independent today about this. And they actually list a few people from other parties that are standing for the election. They have a criminal conviction behind it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It is a bad look. And the place where this is really going to be played out, I suppose, is in the constituency in County Louth, and let's see what the people view of it. But it's a very, very bad look, because there is no doubt about it that if this had happened, if this was a Sinn Féin candidate, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would be all over this like a rash. And, you know, let's see whether this, it'll be like the Michael O'Leary thing, will it go away? Or John said it might be like a snowball and it might turn into something here.
Yeah, I think it is the second for what my opinion is worth. John, I presume the Tyrconnell Tribune are doing the opinion poll. Is that the case?
That process is ongoing this week.
When's it going to be released?
That'll be next week.
Excellent. So we have then also the TG Cahir poll, which is going to be released later this week. There are two different things. I mean, the Tyrconnell...
TG Cahir poll's tomorrow night.
Now, they break it down into simple percentages, and I've jotted down as to how I think it's going to go. I don't think it can be made public because I might seem like I'm anti one thing or another, which I'm not. But I think this is going to throw up some surprises locally in terms of where the support is going, where the support is going within parties, and where maybe some people support the arse has fallen out of it. Or are you expecting... What are you expecting?
You'll get percentages. You will get percentages similar to Galway West last Thursday evening, was it? Fianna Fáil is down 10% there. Eamon O'Keefe is gone. Grainne Fioga is on 7%. Fianna Fáil's on. Their two candidates are on 7% there, and they're in a pretty tight corner. Fine Gael set to gain a seat there. We'll wait and see what the TG Cahir poll does for Donegal tomorrow, but it'll be interesting. It was interesting the last time. Our poll was not that far from it, but it was a bit more detailed.
Yeah, it all depends on the methodology. Now, your sample rate at the Tyrconnell, I'm not just saying this because you're on, but the sample rate from the Tyrconnell poll is massive.
You know,
which greatly narrows the margin of error. It doesn't then, obviously, we can't always go into the intricacies of second preferences and transfers. That's something we can discuss and debate after the fact. But it will be very interesting, Paddy, to see the raw percentages for Donegal candidates in this poll, I think.
It will. You started off your programme last week, Greg, by asking John and I to forecast about who was going to... who did we think was going to do well and who we think wasn't going to do well. And hey presto, didn't I come across a quotation by RTE political correspondent Micheál Lehane in the RTE app on Saturday. And he quoted the Roman philosopher Cicero. He says, "You can always spot a fool, for he is the man who will tell you that he knows who is going to win an election." So can I formally withdraw the three names I gave you last week then, so I won't talk?
No.
It will be very interesting. I played a small role in that exercise the last time, and I hope to do it this time as well for the TT. And it's covered all over the place. But John's turns out to be very, very, very accurate. And I suppose it's about the comprehensive nature of it. But the other thing about it is, because it's so close to the election, you might do a poll a month ago, and you might do one the day before the election, and the day before the one that's done the day before the election, if it's done properly, turns out to be very, very accurate. I mean, if you look at exit polls, for instance, and RT will be doing this at 10 o'clock on the 29th, they turn out to be really, really accurate, you know, if people, you know, are making their views known properly or truthfully.
We'll
see. There was one poll doing the rounds earlier on. I don't know where it came from or whatever, and it showed certain percentages, but we'll see. It will be very, very accurate. There's 20 candidates running here. Every candidate will get some kind of a meaningful vote. Some people will get more than others, but transfers is going to be really, really interesting how they're going to shake out on this occasion.
In terms of the amount of candidates, John, now some are independents or non-party, as the returning officer describes them. Others are members of smaller parties. They are members of parties, but it's kind of maybe the independent vote that might go in their direction. How does that, how does that, if at all, alter the outcome of the election here? Can we suppose what percentage of the vote independents, maybe excluding Thomas Pringle, and those of smaller parties might get?
It's very difficult at this point, but generally speaking, the vast majority of independents don't save their deposits or don't come anywhere near it. She's a party woman. Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu could get 2,500 to 3,500 votes. That would be a high number there, because she's fighting a lone battle up here in Donegal. She has a team behind her, but Aintu doesn't have that much traction up here. And indeed, they don't have an awful lot of traction in general elections other than their leader. And I would say that that's not going to change too much. I think there's going to be a couple of very interesting things to look for here. Who's going to replace Joe McHugh? The dynamic for that seat has changed down to southwest Donegal, and there's a bit of an input from Milford that should pick up a substantial vote. Now, we have no idea what that's going to be. Redress, Charles Ward for the 100% Redress Party. This is make or break time for them at this level of politics. They have a baseline of 7,500 there to work on. They're canvassing pretty hard, and they're out and about all over the place. It's always going to be an uphill battle for a new party because you're against the might of Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil. Sinn Féin is very, very busy on the ground, but Fianna Fáil has a campaign ongoing that I've never seen before. You think their very lives depend on it. There's some reason behind that. There's two things going on there. They're either looking for two seats, or else they're trying to conceal the fact that they're in danger. Not too sure which of them is right. I'm not getting a great word back on the ground from any of the main parties, quite honestly. People are just disconnected with politics. There's a sort of malaise set in there that people just are not happy. They don't feel that politics is connecting with them. It's not representative of them. There's a lot of flack there about the fact that those big spends in the budget were not targeted, that those who are in poverty are still in poverty and will be.
Yeah, but does that not mean then, I'll ask you and then I'll ask Paddy, does that not mean then when we have such an emotive topic that affects so many people as defective concrete blocks, that in a otherwise kind of, a grey campaign, when there's something that's so emotive and touches so many people, that it becomes maybe one of the, not becomes, it is then one of the big swings and one of the things that gets people out to actually vote? Because this election will be won by people who vote. It won't be influenced by those that don't vote.
The probable outcome is be there may be affected by those who don't vote, because there's a lot of evidence out there of people just registering their protest by not voting at all. I've got that more in this election campaign in the last 10 days than I've ever got before. Now, it's up to the politicians and their canvassers to get in on those doorsteps and convince people, first of all, to get out and vote, and secondly, to support their particular brand of politics. But we're not getting any of that there. We're not getting that. In real terms, the Mickey Redress Party should be flying, given the amount of Mickey issues that are in the whole county of Donegal. It doesn't work that way. There's a party loyalty there, there's a tradition there, and it's still there very strongly. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and nowadays Sinn Féin are going to be pretty strong. I see them getting their two seats without any big bother.
Sinn Féin, okay. Paddy Rooney, what's your view?
Well, I suppose in reference to the Charles Ward and his team, I mean, I and suppose everybody else in Donegal knows somebody. If they don't live in a house that's got Micah, they know somebody, or they know people that do live in a house with Micah. And all of the people that are involved, or most of them anyway, are actually reluctant politicians. They don't want to be here. The only reason they're in this gig is because they have to be, because they feel that they're not getting proper representation from the other parties, whatever kind of flags the other parties are saying around. But you know, given the fact that the independents are 21% nationally, that's a fifth of the total poll. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to play out here or whatever, but one of the things, I suppose, because the quota is going to be very high, John made reference to it last week, either we'll say one of the Sinn Féin candidates will probably top over that. It's likely then that nobody else will. So not alone your first preference vote, but it's going to be very, very important then that you're attractive to everybody else for you know, second preferences and stuff like that. And I think that's one area that Charles Ward could have a trump card over everybody else. He could turn out to be everybody else's second favourite candidate, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which might give him a little bit of an edge there.
Just in terms of what's changed since last week, John, it's just a sense that you get from a Fine Gael perspective, and this is not an opinion, it's just an observation, that John McNulty's stock seems to be rising, not just out of his heartland, so to speak, that you know, he's trying to get traction with Fine Gael voters far outside Ardrossa, for an example. And also to the impact on Noel Jordan. I understand he's having a very successful campaign there down in and around Donegal Town, Mount Charles, Killybegs, etc. And I just wonder, is he going to be drawing, this has made me wonder for Thomas Pringle's chances here, because you have another very strong candidate in that area who may not get over the line himself, but you imagine a lot of his second preferences are going to be heading north to Inishowen or west to the west. So those are just a couple of variables that seem to have emerged since our last conversation last week. I don't know if either of the two of you have any view on that.
John McNulty has been running very, very strongly. The constituency is now divided. Nicky Bradley has the Milford Letterkenny in the Inishowen area, and that's a fairly substantial area. John McNulty has the rest of the constituency, but he had his canvassing done out
on
in this
paper,
part of the world.
On paper.
A lot will go back. We have been back here before. A lot will depend, not on John McNulty, because he's a good candidate. It will depend on the structure that he has behind him in the constituency executive, and how they get out there and get that canvass done. Because realistically, no candidate will get half of their area canvassed, given the shortage of the very short evenings and very long nights, and people don't want to see you after 8 o'clock in the evening. Can Fine Gael win back that vote that they lost in the local elections? Of course, Fianna Fáil lost 4,000 votes as well, and that. They're in a much stronger position. They're on about 17,000 votes. Fine Gael is about 3,500 votes short of a quota. Fianna Fáil is that amount over the quota. So there's a vast difference there. Sinn Féin's Noel Jordan, your reference there. You see, there are issues there that if Paddy McLaughlin and Piers Doherty can hold their 34, almost 35,000 votes, that's 45%. If they can hold that, and Noel Jordan can get up to that 4 or 5% area, well, then they'll be looking at the third seat. I'm not too sure if that's a runner.
Just in relation to, though, the consequences for the likes of Thomas Pringle with Noel Jordan running in his area, does that Because I say some national speculation was is that the 100% redress might be the Achilles heel for Thomas Pringle. I don't see it like that at all myself personally, but just literally because of the geographical nature of the county. But if Pringle were to miss out, is it because of Noel Jordan doing well and transferring up the county or what?
Pringle would have to increase his vote very, very substantially because he got almost 2,800 and whatever from Sinn Féin the last time and had given that third seat. Now, Noel Jordan's participation there is expected to diminish Pringle's total vote of transfers. They're all crowded into a very, very... It's a small area, Donegal South West, given that there's 9,000 voters south of Lahey in Sligo Leitrim. John McNulty's in Kilcar, and you're going to have two other candidates in Noel Jordan and Mount Charles. Claudia Kennedy is in there with a vote as well because she's from that Donegal, even though she's from further south than Lahey. But she'll pick up a vote there as well. Mm. We haven't spoken about her for Fianna Fáil. We don't know what her vote's going to be. But
I think she might resonate more in the east of the county.
Have an impact, you know.
Yeah, of course. Paddy?
Well, I was just going to make the point, John sort of touched on it there anyway. There's literally two constituencies in this constituency. And I have a sense anyway that the southwest part of it, the old Donegal southwest, it's actually top loaded with the heavy players here. I'm not diminishing all the other candidates in it, but Pierce Doherty is in that area. He's going to be a contender. Pat McCope is in that area. He's going to be a contender. Thomas Pringle is a sitting TD in that area. You've mentioned John McNulty, that he has prominence now. He's the prominent Fine Gael candidate in it. Noel Jordan is there. So then when you move up, we'll say, for instance, to Donegal North East, then you have Charlie McConlogue and you have Patrick McLaughlin sitting TDs. Now, not all of the five TDs are going to come from the one area. So Donegal South West is not going to have them all. So just by the very fate of geography here, it's going to scatter the seats around. I mean, there is a concentration of players already in the southwest. In principle, a lot of their votes should go to each other, not all of them, but some of them. So they will either damage each other or they will help each other. We'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, indeed. I just think with the annexed Donegal, and just being from that area, I don't know if people vote sort of go, right, I'm going to just vote local. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong in that. I don't know.
There's a mix. There's a big, big mix in that. Pat the Cope, we haven't mentioned him. Pat the Cope has a decent campaign on the road, a very good campaign. He had a Coyle Canter meeting in Gortahurk last Tuesday night, and there was 50 people there, and a good buzz of excitement. And other parishes would be lucky to get half that in number. Now, how he impacts beyond that, that remains to be seen. But he has a good campaign going, and he has put a lot of work on the ground over the last 4 years. So, is he going to be in there in the final shake-up for that last seat? I suspect that he could easily be. So could Thomas Pringle, and so could Charles Ward. You know, like it's like that there. John McNulty. Not so sure that all of them are going to be in that shake-up, you know.
Yes, but I mean, who are Fine Gael people? Fine Gael has huge support in Donegal. Who are they going to vote for if it's not for Nicky Bradley or John McNulty?
They don't have huge support in Donegal. They have decent support in Donegal. Joe McHugh managed to get over 8,000 votes the last time as a senior government minister, and Martin Harley done very, very well to get over 3,000, so they're short of 12,000 votes. So,
yeah, I get you. Okay.
They have 12,000 votes. Sinn Féin has 34,500 votes. Fianna Fáil has 17,500 votes. So, it's stacked against them in a way, you know, that if Fianna Fáil is on any kind of a decent roll, they could easily take in two candidates. And, that's obviously their ambition.
All right.
And I'm not sure how realistic that is.
A caller says, listening in Guidor, is there a website to go and see who's standing in the Donegal constituency? Yes, there is. It's called highlandradio.com. And you can click into the election folder there. No. So, yes, Paddy.
People voting locally and so on and so forth. Thomas Pringle got two very good lifts the last time. One was from the surplus of... Pierce Doherty. Mm-hmm. And the other one, surprise, surprise, was the distribution of Martin Harley's votes Okay.
Yeah.
So Martin's from up, or he has family connections up there. So that was a case now of votes transferring from Fine Gael over to Thomas Pringle's
team.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
Ideologically, they are very, very different. But you see how people were sort of looking after their own.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I was only going, I have no, I mean, you've produced evidence there. I was just sort of my feel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
so,
sorry,
yeah. I mean, listen, we're not going to play games here, but has either of the two of you, in terms of who you are confident might get elected, locked in for you, and how many seats outside of what you might be certain of are up for grabs? I mean, John, we've got as far as you seem convinced Padraig McLaughlin and Piers Doherty are going to be okay, because you're looking at the math, but also you've got your ear to the ground. Can you go beyond that?
Charlie McConlogue definitely will be okay. He has very, very big canvas support on the ground, and he's pretty well got out on the canvas as well. I would have to say that he's working extremely hard, and he's just attending everything that moves. And he could substantially improve on his vote of the last time, but depending on what the sentiment is out there in the public, he could lose. He could lose a handful of votes. I don't think he's going to lose an awful lot, because a senior government minister for 4.5 years does mean something. It has to mean something, because you're spreading money around the place.
So that's three. After that, have you any?
After that, then, I think all the other seats are at play.
Up for grabs. Okay.
Thomas Pringle would be my favourite for the fourth seat, because let's look at it realistically. Thomas Pringle is well got across the county. He's a councillor on two occasions. He's been a TD in 2011, 16 and 20, and he has done extremely well. He's never too far out of the news, and he has a highly organised office in Killybegs.
Yeah. And he's got a good network throughout the county.
He has a huge network throughout the county. It just remains to be seen how that reacts to him on the day.
And Paddy, any? I mean, there's nothing certain, and you've got that quote in your back pocket to pull out. But I'm just wondering if
I said the last.
In fairness, this is a bit of a game, right? We don't know, and no reputations are at stake here. But I just wonder if your lineup, are you any further confidence in it?
I'd say the sort of consensus anyway that Piers Doherty is going to do very well again, and he will be elected. Nobody likes that moniker
No.
from him, but he will be elected. John has an interesting point about Charlie McConlogue, but he's going to be one to watch here. He lost 4,500 votes from the last two elections ago to the last one, and he cannot afford to lose any more, because once the count begins to play out here, where is Charlie McConlogue going to get transfers? He needs to get it, most of it, on the first count. And can he do that with Micah at playing and Sean? We'll see. He, being a minister, as John said, it is important, and it'll give him certain kudos, and it'll give him a certain lift. But I suspect he's going to need all of it.
Yeah,
he's definitely leaving no stone unturned. And obviously they know more than we do at this point. They've probably done some sampling themselves. Fianna Fáil is always good at doing sampling. They're at it for a long, long time. Fine Gael has been doing that over the years, but I don't think that's happening all that much now. Sinn Féin are continually sampling. They put in a third candidate there for a reason, and it's to stop votes drifting away from them. And that, in that part of Donegal, Killybegs, right up into Kilcar, Carrick, and down into Glencolumbkill, there's a big, big vote up there. And also in the Donegal town area itself. Now, they weren't going to run three candidates, and the female... If they were going to run three earlier on, they would have thought of the name of Cora Harvey, should she be available. I don't know if that was right or not. But she would have been a great candidate sitting there in the Finn Valley.
Okay.
She would definitely be in the running for a third seat. Noel Jordan is a bit far south. He's going to have to depend on the same ground as his colleagues up there, right out along the Atlantic, from Donegal Town up into Glencolumbkill. It's a big, big ask, but a lot's going to depend on how Doherty and McLaughlin hold up their vote.
Okay, it's all very fascinating. We'll reconvene. John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune newspaper, thank you very much indeed. Paddy Rooney, always a pleasure to chat to you really, really soon. And that was a second look at what's happening. We did one last week. We'll do one again next week. And that's going to be available for you to listen as a podcast on our website really soon.